Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If y'all would turn to Acts chapter number 1. The Lord kind of laid my heart, laid this message on my heart a couple weeks ago. Really, obviously I didn't know I was going to be preaching, but the Lord really burdened me over something. Really, whenever Brother Steve got up and opened up there last month or whenever it was, and he brought the thought of living in unity, and I started thinking about it or whatever, and the Lord led me here to Acts chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. The Lord really took me a different direction just a little bit than what I originally had thought. But anyways, I guess we'll just go ahead and get started here. I'm going to read the first four verses of chapter 1 and then the first four verses of chapter number 2. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me." Then chapter 2 here. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And I'm going to preach this morning on when Christ tells us to wait. If y'all would pray with me and pray for me, please. Most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, please, Lord, just help me this morning. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Just let you preach through me, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you for this message, Lord, and what it's done for me in my life. And Lord, please just open hearts this morning and just let people receive exactly how you've shown it to me, please, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be clear and straightforward. I love you this morning. Help us, please. It's in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Alrighty, so in verse number 3 of chapter number 1, it says, "To whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, and being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And then it goes on down and it says in verse number 4, it says, "But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." So basically, I'm going back to verse number 3, where it says, "By many infallible proofs." Jesus told the disciples that the Holy Spirit was going to come. The Holy Spirit had not been yet entered into the world in the sense as it is today. But we see that the Lord gives a message by many infallible proofs to the apostles. Then we see in verse number 4 there, it says, Jesus said, "But wait for the promise of the Father." And then you go on over here to chapter number 2, verse number 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." So we see here that there was a message given by many infallible proofs. And then we see Jesus saying to wait for the promise to come. And then we see the promise coming. So my question this morning is going to be, between whenever Jesus tells you to wait and whenever you receive the promise, what do you do? I mean, we see here, straightforward, Jesus says, "But wait for the promise of the Father." Is there anything that goes on between that waiting time and whenever the promise is fulfilled? I skipped over most of chapter number 1 for a reason. It's where we're going to be this morning. But did the apostles do anything when Christ told him to wait, or told them to wait? Was there anything that the apostles did, which really, if you see in verse 15, there was 120 people, was there anything that they did to ensure that the promise of the Holy Spirit coming, did they do anything to ensure that promise was fulfilled? I understand, just straightforward, before I really get into it, This could have very well happened by grace alone. I'm just going by application. The Holy Spirit could have came if the apostles didn't do anything. And we can have prayers answered completely by grace if we don't do anything. I understand that. But if they didn't do these things that we're fixing to go over, if the apostles didn't do some other things while Christ told them to wait, it could have very well hindered the Holy Spirit's coming. So I'm just putting all this into application for us today. We get a message from the Word of God, okay? We get a message from the Word of God. The pastor preaches it. You're reading at home. You get a message from the Word of God. And then we react to that message in prayer. And then Christ says to wait for the promise. And then in the future, our promises or our prayers get answered. So I'm sure that many of us have had prayers get answered and prayers that are we're still in between that waiting, or we're in that waiting stage between Christ saying with His Word by many infallible proofs that He's going to that He's promising us some things, but we're waiting on it. We're in that in between stage. We all know that 1 Peter 5:14 says if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So if any of you all are like me, you go straight to 2 Peter 3:9 and say, Lord, You say if we ask anything according to Your will, You hear us. 2 Peter 3:9 says that it's not Your will that any should perish. Okay, that's how I pray. If any of you all are that way, yeah. I know, Lord, that it's not Your will for my lost loved ones to die and go to hell. Or maybe you're just praying for direction in your life in some way. Matthew 21:22 says, "And all things, whatever or whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Lord, it says in Your Word. It says in Your Word, Matthew 21:22. But He says to wait. You have reacted to the messages of the Word of God, but now you're in that waiting period. There's a million different prayer requests that we can. I mean, we can go through anything, any kind of problem. You can turn to the Word of God and say, Lord, this is Your promise. But now you're in that waiting period. Are we supposed to just sit? Christ, right here in verse number 4, it says, "But wait for the promise of the Father." Wait, Christ. That is a direct commandment. Christ says to wait. I know exactly what most of us would do. We'd sit there and say, Lord, You said to wait. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. That's what I'd do most of the time, I'd say. We'd just sit down and wait. But is that what the apostles did? Is that what the apostles did from chapter 1 to chapter 2 to receive, completely ensure to them that they get the promise received? So let's get into it here. So what did they do? They didn't just wait, as specifically said by Christ to do. Let's go here. Chapter number 1, verse 12 and 13. Context, this is right after Jesus went up into heaven and two angels came to the apostles and told them to return to, basically, why are you standing here and doing nothing? And then it says, then returned they, chapter number 1, verse number 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. We see here that they had priorities. They had their priorities straight in their life. We see the very first thing that they did whenever Christ told them, or whenever the angels told, you know, Christ told them to stay in Jerusalem, but they were at the Mount of Olives. The first thing that they did, they had their priorities completely straight. The first thing that they did after Christ told them to wait, they went straight to an upper room. An upper room was a place of isolation, a place of prayer. First thing that they did, they went straight to a prayer closet. On their way back, it says there in verse number 12 at the end, it says, a Sabbath day journey. I looked it up, studied into it. I think from everything that I've seen, it was about a half a mile. I believe that's right. They traveled by foot a half a mile from Mount Olive to Jerusalem. They didn't let the world get in their way. They didn't let their flesh get in the way. And they didn't let the devil get in their way on their way back. They kept their focus. We see you don't see anywhere here where they stopped and got something to eat. You didn't see anywhere here where they stopped to take a break. I understand a half mile ain't too awful far. But you don't see anywhere where they got tired and said, let's just wait a minute. They went straight to a prayer closet. They heard what Christ said to do. He said to wait. But you know what? Instead of me just sitting here doing nothing, I'm going to go and I'm going to get in the prayer closet. Then number two, I see here in verse 13 and verse 15, I just read, for sake of time, I'm not going to read it again. You see all the names of those people in verse 13. Then verse 15, the end part of it, it says the number of names together were about 120. So not only did they have their priorities straight and went straight to a prayer closet, they had people there with them. They had their priorities straight and they had people there. There are some things in this life that you're going to do as a Christian that you have to do it alone. But if there's any possible way that you can do things for Christ and have people there with you, supporting you, doing it with you, I'd highly recommend it. It's a whole lot better for, what is it, the Lord says, if any two or three be gathered together, He'll be there in the midst. I understand He's still there. He lives within. But whenever you have people with you, whenever you're not just alone, it helps. Number three, we see here in verse number 14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren." Just meeting with a bunch of people in a prayer closet won't do anything until you really get down and you put prayer and supplication into it. I mean, we can all gather together in a prayer closet, every one of us pile in there, and not a thing's going to happen until you get down and you pray. And so we see that they had their priorities straight, they had people gathered together, and they got down and they prayed. Remember, we're trying to get from the beginning of chapter 1, where there's a promise given and a commandment to wait, and then we see in chapter 2, the promise being fulfilled. These are just things that we've got to do to be able to receive promises. First, we have to have our priorities right. Then we have to have people. And then we have to pray. Who's going to pray for the burden that you have? Who's going to pray for your lost children? Who's going to pray for your sick family? I mean, Brother Don and Sister Laverne, who's going to pray for them? Who's going to pray for them? Every one of us, I could go down through, every single one of us have lost children and lost family members. Brian, have you been praying for them? Where's your priority at? Where's the people there helping you to pray? How much time are you putting in prayer for these lost people? Do we realize how hot hell really is and it's forever?
Yeah, tell it, God.
I mean, do you not realize that your children, if they've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your children can die and go to hell,
right,
and nothing ever be done about it. Nothing can be done about it. Why are we not praying? Why have we let the world, the flesh, and the devil get our priorities out of line? Why are we not asking others to pray for these things? And quite frankly, just why are we not praying? Why are we not praying? The fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. It says that three times. I think Matthew chapter or Mark chapter 9. Three times it says the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. You understand that could be your children. You understand that could be your wife, your husband. I don't know, your mother, your father, your best friend. Then fourthly, we see here, the apostles had already been promised by Christ Himself that the Holy Spirit would come, but that didn't stop them from praying for it. But not only did they pray, they prayed with patience and persistency. You see right there at the beginning of chapter 4 or verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. I added it up, as far as I know of, from the Passover to the day of Pentecost was 50 days, as far as what my study said. So then Christ was dead for 3 days. He was there with them for 40 days. So that's 43 days. You've got 1 week until the day of Pentecost. They were not promised. You see, Christ didn't tell them the time that the promise was going to be received. But we see in hindsight with the Word of God that it was 1 week from the time that Christ said that to when the prayer was whenever the promise was fulfilled. They didn't just pray for it once. They didn't just pray for it for a minute, but they prayed for 7 days, continued in prayer for 7 days, patiently. They didn't know when it was coming. Think about it. You prayed, if they continued in prayer, you prayed continually for 6 days for something, it ain't gonna happen. I mean, Lord, I have done everything. I've given you everything, and it's not happened. But they were patient with it. And they looked to the promise. That it was a promise from Jesus that it was going to happen. But they were persistent. Think about this. Think about if they didn't continue in this prayer. What if the Holy Spirit would have never came? What would we do today? What would have happened if that prayer warrior that prayed you, and what if they stopped? What if they wasn't patient? What if they wasn't persistent in their prayer? Would you be here today? I wouldn't. I guarantee it. Ain't nothing that I can do to get myself here. It's all by the prayers that are patient and persistent. And it was with a purpose. They knew. Whenever you pray, do you get down and just go through the motions? Or whenever you pray, is there some purpose in it? Well, I just talked to you just a second ago about hell. Is that not a purpose, good enough of a purpose to pray for your lost loved ones? Do you not realize, just like I was talking in the Sunday school hour, this world's awful. This world is awful, and the devil's out to do nothing but to destroy you. You young kids, you have to get in there. You have to get in your prayer closet and pray and pray and beg God. Be persistent with it. Pray with a purpose. You two, y'all got 70 years of your life to live for the Lord. 70 years. But if you don't get in there and start now, it'll be gone. Amen. It'll be gone. I'm 22 and it's unbelievable. But you got to pray with a purpose. But not only did they have their priorities right, and that they had people that were praying patiently and persistently with a purpose, but look at chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Matthew 21:13 says that the house of God is to be called a house of prayer. If we're going to see sinners come through that door right there, if we're going to see anybody down here at the altar, if we're going to have Holy Ghost conviction on anybody, we have to pray together. You see here, it came, they'd been sitting here praying and praying and praying, and they were praying together, and we see the promise. According to the little chart back there, there's 85 people here today. But Friday night, there was about 15. Last night, there was about 15. How important is prayer to us? How important is it? It don't seem like it's very important. This is something that the Lord burdened me with a couple, like I said, 3 or 4 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Why are we not seeing things? Why are we not seeing sinners get saved? Now, I may be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've been here a little bit over 2 years. And I may be wrong, but I can think of 3 people that have gotten saved since I've been here. And like I said, I may be wrong, but I thought about it last night. 3 people. Pastor gave us a paper Friday night to pray for that had 150 people wrote on it. And he probably wrote 150 names in 10 minutes. Just boom, 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 boom. That ain't half of it. There's no way that we can live out in the world and go into our homes just as worldly as the devil and get down and pray like we ought to. Not a one of you all can tell me that you're more spiritual outside the doors than you are in here. Because if you are, tell me how. Because this place right here, you're with God's people. You're praying in one place. How do you have things get answered the most efficiently? You get in one place with a bunch of praying people. I just don't see, where is our priorities at? I mean, 15 people Friday and Saturday night. 15 people. And I've heard pastors say it, I don't know. He says, you say that you're going to pray at home, but do you? Do you pray at home? I mean, I can't. Get down and pray for 2 hours like we do on Friday nights. And it's every other Friday. Can you not? I've prayed maybe an hour a couple times at home. But that's hard to do for me. It's so much easier to get in here with God's praying people and just feel the presence of a holy God sit down there and talk with you. And you'll be able to... 150 names you wrote. I'm just kind of guessing. It was a front and back, both sides of the paper. Just names, 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 names. Not all of them were lost. But these are prayer requests, and that ain't even a quarter of them, I'm sure. I know that you say that that you've got things that you got to do. I understand that. But don't you think that the apostles had something to do? Don't you think they thought, man, the yard needs mowed. Man, you know, the dog needs fed. Who cares? Where? I've got wrote down, what's more important? The soul of your friends and family or football? Friends or family or football? What about the health of the brethren or a bass boat? What about your pastor or your passions? Can it not just wait? Can it not wait till another day?
Yeah.
The Lord burdened me to come to Friday night prayer and Saturday night prayer, and it's changed my life. Wednesday night's wonderful. Sunday morning's wonderful. Sunday night's wonderful. But unless y'all are just... I must just not be spiritual enough to not come or something. You know, I don't understand it. Because by Wednesday, I'm done shot. Come to Sunday, you have two services Sunday. By Wednesday, I'm shot. And then by Sunday, that Sunday, I'm whooped. You come in here on Friday night, and you can just get into it. You start getting into getting spiritual, starting to understand, starting to get. Your whole thinking starts changing whenever you just give your life to prayer. I've just 2 years ago, which obviously I wouldn't have been called to preach, but 2 years ago I wouldn't even talk to you about the Lord. But I'm telling you what, prayer has changed my life. And even more so, praying as a church has changed my life on Wednesday night. Then even more so, Friday night and Saturday night. Where is our priorities at? Amen. So again, we see that the apostles, see what the apostles did to ensure the promise got fulfilled. They had their priorities straight. They had people there for support. They prayed patiently and persistently with a purpose, and they did it all in one place. But then let's look here, verse number 4 again in chapter 2. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. But notice this. Let's go over to the end of chapter number 2. I'm going to read just a few verses here. Chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meats with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Excuse me. We see in chapter number 1 those things that I just went through: the priority, the people, the patient, persistent prayer with a purpose, the prayer in one place. It reproduced itself. Not only did the apostles do it, and then the promise came, but then God added to it. It reproduced itself. You see in verse 42, we see the people placing priority on a persistent and patient prayer. You see, it says, and they continued steadfastly. And then down there at the end of the verse, it says, in prayer. And then verse 46, it says, just like I just said, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were in one place, the temple, God's house of prayer. We see that this is what, but not only that, but the final outcome, from what I've looked at here, the final outcome of not just sitting still in between prayer or in between prayers getting answered or between promises being made and prayers getting answered, the final outcome of it is even further than just the promise being given. We see all these blessings of all these other people are doing it. But then you see in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. So that priority, that people, those people praying, that patient, persistent prayer with a purpose in one place produces pull with other people. Produces pull with other people. I'm pretty much done here. Until we get to the point where Christ actually takes some sort of priority in our life, Until we have other people helping us bear our burdens through a patient, persistent prayer in one accord, in one place, we ain't going to see anything get done. Until that happens, sinners are just going to keep coming in here and turning around walking right back out. But when we see that, when that happens, we'll see souls get saved and we'll have pull with the people around us in Blount County. I don't know. I hope and pray that y'all are seeing what I'm talking about. Where is the priority at? Where is the priority at in our lives? And let me just flip over here to Hebrews 10. Not forsaking this, as Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more. You know, whenever I got into a slump there a little while back, I was just trying to figure some things out with my timing, with my family, between family and church, my timing. And we sat down and we said, we're just going to pick. We're going to either go to Friday night prayer every other week, every second and fourth Friday, or we're going to go Saturday night prayer. Well, we decided we were just going to do Friday night prayer. And during that time, I was asking myself, you know, is it sin? We see here it says not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. Is it sin to miss any other day? You know, we say it's sin. You better be at church on Wednesday and Sunday. You better be in church. Where in the Bible does it say you better be in church on Wednesday and Sunday? It says here, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We shout it out all the time. The day's coming. The day's coming. It's coming. Is it sin that you're missing Friday and Saturday night too? Was it sin for me? This is just thoughts that was going through my head. Am I sinning by not coming? But you know what? Even more so than sin, well, I guess not even more so, but just kind of in a worldly sense, I felt awful. I felt awful not coming on Saturday night. I guess it was 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, I guess, we decided that we was just going to do, you know, Friday night. I felt awful. But then whenever we finally got straightened out and decided we're just going to go to church, we're just going to be there. When Pastor says to be there, we're going to be there. Whenever we decided to do that, life's just wonderful. I understand there's still hard things that's going on in our life, but you know what? You can just hand it to God. When? You can come up here Friday and Saturday night. You can just hand it over. Here you go, Lord. Here you go, Lord. The world's whooped me this week. The devil's whooped me.
That's right.
My flesh is killing me. But here you go, Lord. And then you come again on Saturday night. You go Friday night, then you come Saturday night. Lord, I don't know what happened. Saturday's whooped me. Here you go, Lord. And then you come Sunday morning. Here you go, Lord. Man, I'm telling you what. Whenever you realize that prayer has to take priority in your life, whenever you realize that, it'll change your life. It's changed my. I've got a long ways to go, but I mean, there ain't no way I've arrived. But I'm telling you what, my life's 10 million times further than it was 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I guess my time's fixing to be gone here. I guess I'm done, but will you come and pray this morning if the Lord spoke to any of you? If your priorities are not right, just come up here and just give it to Him. Just come up here and just give it to Him. Or just get your priorities in line. My life has just went back and forth so many times, so many different places. I've got my priorities mixed up 99% of my life. But I'm telling you what, whenever you get dialed in, whenever you get focused, and realize that it really don't mean nothing. This world don't mean nothing. You can get in there. Won't you come and pray and ask the Lord to get your priorities back in line? Will you come and pray and beg God to make this church a house of prayer? Why don't you come and pray again to save your lost loved ones? Who else is going to pray for them if you don't pray for them? And how else is it going to happen? We see in Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, it all happened whenever they came in one place. Why don't you come and pray this morning? I'm done, Pastor.
Let's stand to our feet. Ben, if you'd get on the piano and just play quietly for us. Bow your head. You heard the truth this morning. The burden for prayer.